Well, this is the Space Show.
I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon. And you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, and we're here on the Space Show are still blue because Charlie Duke, yes, he was here several weeks ago. And if you come and shake my hand, you'll be shaking the hand that shook the hand of Charlie Duke, who walked on the moon. Also, here was one of the mission directors or flight directors of the Apollo program. And yes, it was a very exciting time. They showed a film about the directors. That was a little snatch of music from it. And we're now here about a little clip from the film before we talk to one of the producers of the film. So this is the flight directors and the origins of them and their early experiences of the mission controllers in their own voices. As I said, this is taken from the soundtrack of the movie.
I grew up in both Oklahoma and Texas. And I used to sit outside at night and I'd gaze at the moon. Never occurred to me that we would land people there. I still go out and I like to enjoy gazing at the moon. But I don't look at it the same way I did when I was growing up. It's a different moon to me now.
My childhood was directed by my father, who was a drunk and he was a womanizer and he was a gambler. I left Philadelphia, where we ended up living, when I turned 18. I said, I've had it. I'm getting out of this hell hole, and I joined the Army. And they made me a weatherman. Of all things.
When I was a senior in high school, I guess, I took an aptitude test, and it said that I should either be a funeral director or an engineer. And so I went to the library and checked out a book titled What Engineers Do. And it really intrigued me, and I said, that's what I want to be. I want to be an engineer.
I was born in a little town in Pennsylvania, coal mining town. My dad worked in the coal mines for a while. But growing up, I was really fascinated with airplanes. So I built a lot of model airplanes, and I hung them from the ceilings, little balsa things, learned how to put the paper around them and shrink it. They got to look pretty good.
Aviation plants need men to design the planes of the future.
I went to Virginia Tech during World War II. I was studying mechanical engineering, but I wanted to be a baseball player, not an engineer. But I knew it wasn't good enough.
I thought I was going to be this great baseball player, which I wasn't. You know, I was going nowhere. Somehow I ended off going to this junior college studying merchandising. The 2 years I spent there, I really didn't learn a lot, even about merchandising. I learned how to smoke cigarettes, smoke cigars, drink whiskey, and chase girls. That's what I learned. And I did a good job of learning that. And then everything changed.
There's something new in the heavens. Something that has never been there before. It circles the Earth once every 96 minutes. It's called the Sputnik.
I can remember Sputnik. He was in an English class. The speakers came on, and the principal announced what had happened, and the Russians had put a spacecraft or an object into space.
I remember I was driving along the road, and when I heard that on the news, and I thought, what? What is this?
And we said, holy moly, you know, these guys are ahead of us. They've gotten a man-made satellite. And then shortly after that, when Gagarin flew.
It was the propaganda coup of the year.
And obviously, we all knew we were in a race.
After the Russian flight, U.S. plans were accelerated. Commander Alan B. Shepard was sent into suborbital flight, unlike the Russians.
And when Kennedy laid down the gauntlet that let's go to the moon and back and do it in a decade, I can remember, I wasn't even in the space program, I said, but I remember thinking, can that be done?
No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important for the long-range exploration of space. And none will be so difficult or expensive to accomplish.
That was an extract from the movie Mission Control, The Unsung Heroes of Apollo, which was shown at the Astor Cinema several weeks ago. The next day, after that movie screening, I went with Rick Houston, the author of the book Go Flight, The Unsung Heroes of Mission Control, and the associate producer of the film. We went to Healesville Sanctuary. Now, we sat down after looking at the koalas and other things there, and we sat down and had a conversation. Now, instead of kookaburra calls, we had twittering schoolgirls in the background at Healesville Sanctuary. Now, here's how our conversation went. Welcome to the Space Show, Rick.
Thanks for having me.
Who publishes your book, and how is it available here in Australia?
Absolutely. It was published by the University of Nebraska Press. It's part of the Outward Odyssey series on human spaceflight. And certainly you can order it online. You can get e-copies. The audiobook is available on Audible and iTunes and all those kinds of venues. I love the audiobook. The audiobook is very well done. You know, the reader does a great job of pronunciations, and you know, some you can't say that about. They tend to kind of butcher what they read, but that wasn't the case because I actually got to work with the narrator a little bit and you know, advise him on, you know, some of the pronunciations, and we went back and forth over several things. So that was a neat process. But yes, absolutely. You can get copies here down under.
After the book, you got into helping with the film. How did that come about?
I can honestly say now that I truly know the meaning of the word no. Because I pitched this project to several people. I pitched it to several agents and basically got told we're not interested. And finally, it came to a point where I just didn't think it was ever going to happen. And I was introduced to Keith Haviland, a businessman and entrepreneur in Britain. Who has a great passion for human space flight. He has one of the world's most elite space collections, you know, of memorabilia, and was introduced to him. One thing led to another. We met in Houston for the first time right before Thanksgiving in 2015 for a research trip, where I introduced him to several of the people who worked in Mission Control. And I honestly think when Keith came to Houston for that first trip, I think that he meant to just throw a few dollars at it and make a nice little tidy, you know, film. But I think that Keith came away from those meetings absolutely, completely blown away. Like I said, by the passion that the people still had for human spaceflight. And so he got back to the UK. He put together a budget and got some investors involved. And we started filming. We did the first filming in June of 2015. Spent about 2 weeks going around Texas to interview several of the people. Did another shoot in Houston and New Jersey late 2015. We finally got permission to shoot in the historic Moker in early 2016. And we had the first public viewing of the film at Space Fest in Tucson in June of 2016. So it was actually a very short process.
Moker being?
The mission operations control room, which is the NASA name for mission control.
Yes, NASA's always full of acronyms. Had Keith Haviland been involved in any other movies?
Oh yes, absolutely. He was actually one of the producers on The Last Man on the Moon, about Gene Cernan, the Gemini astronaut and the Apollo 17 commander who was the last person to walk on the moon. And that film is just absolutely extraordinary. It is, before Mission Control came out, it was my favorite space documentary ever, because it painted just such an intimate portrait of a person who's considered an icon. But Keith was involved in that. And I think that really lit his fire to do more films. And I fortunately was in the right place at the right time with the right idea with Mission Control. So we teamed up, and he brought Gareth Dodds, the producer, on board, and hired David Fairhead. And David and Gareth and Keith absolutely could not have put together a film that I could be any more proud of. I truly believe it's an extraordinary film.
Documentaries don't often get a cinematic release. Has yours been released cinematically?
Well, it's not a film that you can just pick up and go to. We've done several scheduled events. I did a couple of showings in my hometown in North Carolina that were very well received. It had its world premiere at a very famous film festival called South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. It was also, I believe, at Sarasota, and had a great reception there. Actually finished second at Sarasota to a film that received an Academy Award nomination this year. So I was very proud of that. And we also had a showing in Hartford, Connecticut that I went up and hosted myself. So it has been shown in public, but the biggest one that we've done, actually did one at Space Center Houston for all the NASA folks, and to sit in a IMAX auditorium and to see your name come on screen and to see something that you've worked very hard on for so long finally come to fruition. The director of Johnson Space Center was there. All four surviving Apollo-era flight directors were there. Chris Kraft was there. Several of the people who worked in the room and their families were there. And for that film to receive a standing ovation when it was over, it was one of the most special moments of my career,
I should say.
Yeah.
And now you've brought the film to Australia, and I've just had a tour around some of the bigger cities in Australia. At the Astor Cinema, right here in our broadcast area, how did the screening go there?
I cannot begin to tell you what it meant to me to be there in that theater. And it was absolutely a packed house. I don't know how many it seats, but there were very, 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 very few empty seats. And for people to laugh at the right places, for them to be very silent during the dramatic parts, I think it did what it intended to do. and to receive to hear the people clapping from the stage. That's a moment that I'll never forget. I mean, to see, to know. I'll say this. I could never have imagined where I would go where it would lead me when I first stepped into the mission control room. I wrote the book and I told the stories, and for those stories to still have impact 3 or 4 years after the book came out, you know, it means a lot to me. And that film is going to carry that forward. So am I ever going to sell more books than J.K. Rowling? No. I would like to. And my wife would certainly like for me to sell half as many. But that reception that we got last night and the true passion that the folks here in Australia have for the spaceflight program, it's why I wrote the book.
Most of the people there were just members of the general public, had no real knowledge of the space program. Many of them, well, I mean, some of them are even too young to remember the shuttle, let alone the Apollo program. But there were people who had travelled there from, I spoke to several people last night that had come from Adelaide.
Wow. That's just amazing. And, you know, to have Charlie Duke there, the 10th person to walk on the moon, to have Jerry Griffin there, who is one of the very famous flight directors during Apollo. He was actually the only person to lead more than one lunar descent to the surface. To see Charlie's reaction, I mean, he loves the film. You know, obviously, if he didn't think it was a worthwhile project, he wouldn't have made the effort to come here. So, yeah, it was a pretty special moment.
Yes, I just say that's quite a compliment to have Jerry Griffin. He was one of those film. He was actually in the film. And Charlie Duke, who is also in the film, come here and support this screening. Because if it had been a lemon, they would have said, no, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that speaks a lot for the true professionalism that went into the making of the film. It is not pieced together piecemeal. The special effects are beautifully done. You know, we actually had somebody ask how we got a camera in space to film the two spacecraft undocking. Well, you know, that's just a trick of the trade. We can't tell you. but that's how well the special effects are done.
Will the film get a cinematic release here in Australia, or are we going to have to look at the DVD? Or perhaps even go to one of the streaming services for it?
It's on Netflix now, so it's available there. For it to be released like the Avengers, or like Star Wars, or any movie like that, I don't know that that's ever a possibility. But if there's anything that I've learned, you never say never. You know, the tour here in Australia, it went around to several cities, you know, like Sydney and Perth. But for it to receive an Avengers-like release, it would take some doings, because, you know, that just doesn't happen with documentaries.
Well, we do have some documentaries that do screen here in Australia.
Are you trying to tell me, would you like to sign us up?
I'd love to, but unfortunately I don't have the money.
Hey, you got a checkbook.
Okay. We can make it happen.
Are you working on anything new now?
I am working on a couple of things, and I was very fortunate because of my work on the Mission Control book. I was actually called and actually served as a consultant and extra on a movie called First Man about Neil Armstrong. And it stars Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong, stars Claire Foy as his wife, Jan, and several other very well-known actors and actresses. But I was actually able to serve as a consultant on the film and work with Damien Chazelle, who won an Oscar for his work on La La Land as Best Director. And I got to tell you, man, it was absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to watch him work. And it bothered me not in the least that he was born the year that I graduated from high school. But to see the absolute care with which he framed every shot was just, man, I cannot wait to see the film.
When will it be released?
Later this year, 2018.
Okay, in time for the 50th anniversary next year.
I think that's what they're shooting for.
Well, thanks, Rick, for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to coming back again.
And I was talking there with Rick Houston, the author of the book, Go Flight, The Unsung Heroes of Mission Control, and the associate producer of the film Mission Control, The Unsung Heroes of Apollo. Well, let's go back to the movie now, and the film has, you know, obviously concentrates on the Apollo era and the flight controllers that were active at that time, but the film does have two of today's flight directors. They are Courtney McMillan and Ginger Kirik. So let's go to the movie.
As you work your way around the Mastcaster there, feel free to look at the load pads and get some situational awareness.
When I'm trying to describe to somebody what I do for a living, I always have to ask, have you ever seen the movie Apollo 13? You know, that big room where all the people sit, that's where I sit, that's what I do.
When you describe your job, they ask, what do you do at NASA? And I said, I'm a flight director. And they look at me kind of quizzically, and I say, you know, the guy with the vest and the buzz cut.
I have had a chance to meet a few of those guys. I really admire everything that they stand for and what they were able to achieve. I think it's kind of amazing that out of nothing, they built this great institution.
Okay, I understand that. In the ventilation tube in the middle.
We wouldn't be here today without the achievements that those folks made and the strides that they took in getting us down the path of human spaceflight.
Yeah, where we'll leave you there.
The people that have worked at NASA, and particularly the folks in the Apollo era, make it a point to come and speak to us to make sure that we truly understand the job that we are getting ready to undertake and share their experiences with us. So all of us are very grateful to our founding fathers.
Now, if you're interested in the work of Mission Control, you might like to look up the conversation I had with Ed Van Cees. He is the current mission controller, like Courtney and Ginger we've just heard from, and he's in Mission Control Houston. In fact, I spotted him in the movie. Yes, well, go to our website, space.southernfm.com.au, that's space.southernfm.com.au, and then go to the alphabetical list of names, look up Ed Van Cees, and you can hear that conversation. Also, the conversation I had with Charlie Duke several years ago, so look up Charlie Duke in that list of names, and you can find it there. This is The Space Show.